as my co-host. How are you doing, JR?
I'm awesome. Good morning, universe. I'm thrilled on this beautiful morning. We have a great show lined up today, and I have been waiting to get started on this topic for over a week. I swear I'm really anxious. And as some of you know, I'm a Reiki practitioner and wellness coach, and I've really been using a lot of essential oils in the past year, and especially here lately. So I'm excited about this subject and seeing them bringing the results that they do in my life and those around me has really been awesome, and the benefits. And to have someone on the show today who can actually talk to us about essential oils and the benefits that we can gain from them is really, really cool. And our guest today has really been called by some as a miracle worker, by some. She's been described as someone who has the ability to take negative situations and create lasting positive results. She's practiced as a therapist for 17 years and has taken that gift of success and wisdom and gone on to teach and coach others in how to find success in their lives. She has successfully worked with individuals in transforming their lives and bringing true happiness within their lives and their businesses. When people are looking for an opportunity to create massive changes in their lives, they seek her acute wisdom and compassion and her compassionate touch. We welcome our guest this morning, Melanie.
Yes, hi.
Now, Melanie, is it Yost or Yost?
Yost.
Yost. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Welcome this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm enjoying sunshine here and no rain yet.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I like the rain. I'm glad that we've had it, but, you know, I really do like the sunny days. Wish it would rain overnight for a while. So I'm excited to have you on here as well, Melanie. I have had the pleasure of meeting you a couple of times through a variety of different things. We live in the same area, so it was really an honor that you joined us today. I'm excited to have you.
Well, I appreciate you guys asking.
Great. So what do you have to tell us about essential oils? I'm not very well versed in them myself.
Well, can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
JR, you said that you've been excited about this topic and you've been using the oils. And Lynn, when you contacted me and asked me to be on, you said that you'd had some interest from people about this topic. Can you say a little bit more about what you're interested in hearing?
Well, for me, you know, I have been, I was introduced to essential oils probably a good 15 years ago through some of my mentors. And what I noticed personally for myself was back then, if someone were to open up an essential oil in the room that I was in, I had a really strong reaction. I was very hypersensitive. I was one of those ones that I could hold a homeopathic remedy and have it work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even have to take it out of the bottle. So I'm empathic. So it was as I developed my own boundaries, like, and that's what it was about for me. I had to really get my boundaries together before I could start working with essential oils. And so in my opinion, they're really very powerful. It's a really very powerful tool. And, you know, I wasn't prepared to use them initially. So that's why I'm looking to learn more about them. How about you, JR?
I'm pretty much along the same line because, I mean, like I said, I'm using them in my practice with clients in therapy and helping them identify, you know, some of the scents that may help them in a way to bring, to uplift or, you know, to bring balance and harmony in their life. Sometimes, you know, even emotionally, you know, we tend to need a little lift and a scent will do that for us. So, you know, and so, yeah, and that's what I was looking at as far as the conversation this morning is really getting into some of the fundamentals of what, you know, the healing properties of essential oils are and the benefits that we and especially our listeners can, you know, take home and learn from and, you know, experience with bringing peace in their lives.
Excellent. Well, let me, what I'd like to talk about, and you tell me if this is okay, I have my certification in clinical aromatherapy, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I'm a business mindset coach. And so I use the oils a lot. And I want to talk a little bit about the background. A lot of people think this is snake oil or this is the placebo effect, and it's not. Oils are very complex chemistry. In fact, I've got this book on my shelf. It's called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by David Stewart, who has his PhD in chemistry, and it's like minimally 1,000 pages. I mean, it's not so simple. So I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about how they work on the physical level, but also how they work on the emotional and spiritual level for people as well.
Great.
And I also, I'm so adamant about this. I want to talk about all essential oils are not created equally, and that it's imperative. All of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about, you must have a therapeutic grade essential oil to get the results that I'm talking about. Other oils, other scents can make you feel good, but to get the results that, you know, that I'm going to talk about, it's really important to have a therapeutic grade oil. Okay?
So okay, I guess I can ask you that question later. So go ahead and give us your info.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In other words,
there's no foreplay or anything.
I don't want to direct your conversation.
Well, first of all, let me tell you how I got started with essential oils. I was, and please feel free to jump in and ask questions.
Oh, we will. Don't worry.
Oh, good. Don't be shy. All right. So I was working with an energy healer, a very gifted energy healer, and she was, and we were working at a distance over the phone, and she was working with the essential oils in every session, but I just wasn't aware of it. And she made a recommendation that I try two particular oils. And the company that I work with, that's direct sales, has these blends. And one was Valor and one was White Angelica. So I ordered them and I had them on my desk. And I was going to play with them for myself. And I'm in session, therapy session, with a hysterical 19-year-old female. And if anyone's ever been around a hysterical 19-year-old female, it's really a lot of fun. So she came in, she's crying, she's sobbing, she can't even calm down enough to tell me what's going on. I have no idea. And after 45 minutes of all the verbal interventions that usually work, that I've used these many years, I still had no idea what was going on. So finally, in desperation, I looked around and I saw the bottle of Valor on my desk. And so I'm thinking, all right. So I pick it up, and I hand it to her, and I'm like, smell this. And she did, and she started to calm down. I'm like, smell it again. And she did, and she calmed down more. So I had her put some on her hands and really breathe it in. And she quit crying. And then we could have 15 minutes to figure out what was up and leave her, you know, have her leave calmer than she entered. So that was my first real experience, and I went, huh, note to self, I want to know more. So I started to learn more, and I started to use them with myself, and I was so amazed at how quickly I moved through emotional stuff in using the oils. And once I got comfortable using them with myself, I started using them with my therapy clients and seeing really quick shifts. You can shift a mood state very quickly with essential oils. And I even had people come in full-fledged panic attacks and essential oils would stop them. So I needed to know more. And so I went on, and the company I work with is really big into education. So I studied what I could through them and got the books and went on to get my certification in clinical aromatherapy. So that's how I got started in the use of oils. And now as a coach, you know, when people get to stuck places with their thinking and their energy and they just are having a hard time shifting out of it, essential oils can shift that very quickly for them. So any questions about that?
No, I mean, I've experienced that myself with clients who come in and they're kind of, you know, really stressed, and it's just the calming effect of them even being in the room. Because they tell me they walk in and they're just, they just start to feel really at peace.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and so anyone who is working with them can probably really know that.
Yes. Yeah, I have my bag, and I've got over 100 oils in it, and just having the bag in the room, you get a small scent from just having the bag in the room. I don't notice it anymore, but my clients do, and they just come in there like, and they just kind of settle in. And then if I've used oils with the person before, I mean, almost always, I rarely have someone go, oh, that's horrible. Almost always they come in there like, oh, that's wonderful. Because since can shift moods. They have a profound impact on our mood. So oils have been around for a long time. Do you guys know how early they come back? This is a quiz.
I do not.
I would say between 2,500 and 5,000 years around Egyptian times, huh?
Yeah, excellent.
Oh, right. Okay, good.
Excellent.
They are his youngest homework.
In fact, our greatest knowledge of essential oils comes from the Egyptians. And scientists have found papyrus manuscripts that date back as far as 2800 BC. And it was on the use of herbs and aromatics. And the priests and the priestesses in Egyptian times were the healers of the time. So these ancient manuscripts contained essential oil recipes that were created for healing illnesses, restoring youthfulness, because that was really, really important for the Egyptians, and preserving the body for afterlife. So they had all of these recipes. And then fast forward, in the Bible, there are hundreds and hundreds of references to the use of essential oils for health, for healing, and for honoring God. And in fact, this is interesting. God gave Moses a formula for a holy anointing oil, and it contained four essential oils: myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, and cassia, and they were in an olive oil base. Well, what we know now is all four of those oils are highly antibacterial, antiviral. It was to protect them from plagues and from illness.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is really cool. And there are many, many stories in the Bible about using oils to anoint the kings and prophets and priests. The anointing was considered a sacred sign of blessing and grace for the individual being anointed and for the people of God as whole. So it was used extensively, and in fact, in Jesus' healing ministry, he taught his disciples how to heal with essential oils. He taught them to anoint people with essential oils and sent them out for hands-on prayer and anointing, and that was his healing ministry.
So you're saying he used essential oils?
He did.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That was the medicine at the time. In fact, the gifts to the Christ child were frankincense, myrrh, and gold.
Right, I remember that.
But they have found documents from that time where balsam oil was referred to as liquid gold.
Hmm.
So it's unclear if the gold that was given was really gold or if it was balsam oil, because in fact, when they opened King Tut's tomb, all of the riches, all of the gold, all of that, most of that was still there. The essential oils were missing because they were more prized than gold and jewels. They were the medicine of the time, and they were highly valued.
Well, I have to say,
that's a really cool tidbit.
This is really fascinating. I figured you'd be talking about, oils and how they work, but I find this amazing information.
Well, I'm going to be talking about oils and how they work.
I know.
But it's really important to lay the foundation.
Uh-huh.
Because these have been around and these have been used throughout history. So this is not like a new alternative woo-woo fly-by-night thing. This has been around for a very long time. And they were used by healers throughout history, but in the Christian church by like the 1500s, the laying on of hands and anointing with oil, that really fell out of favor. And the newer Christian denominations discarding used the use of blessed oils and lots of other healing rituals. The Greeks and the Romans learned a lot about the aromatics from the Egyptians. I love this. Hippocrates, who is the father of medicine, he once said that the way to health is to have an aromatic bath and a scented massage every day. Hear, hear.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I think we really need to make that just a general rule.
Everybody should have one massage therapist in their home, right?
I think so. And he also recommended burning aromatic substances to help protect against contagious diseases. So oils and aromatics were used for healing in the temples and the bathhouses, and they were burned in homes and public buildings. And then when the Roman Empire fell, a lot of the Roman physicians who had this knowledge fled to Constantinople, and they shared their knowledge of essential oils with the Arabian people. And Avicenna was a Persian physician and alchemist, and he perfected the art of essential oil distillation. And it's the same process that's used today. It's been tweaked a little bit more, but the method that he developed low those many years ago is still the way that oils are distilled today. So then you fast forward to the modern resurgence. Hildegard von Bingen, do you know who she is?
No.
She was a nun, and she was a very gifted healer. She's amazing. She was a mystic,
mm-hmm.
and she used essential oils and aromatics in her healing work as well. And I think she was back in the 1200s, 1300s. But anyway, fast forward to 1907. Dr. René Marie Scatafosse is a French cosmetic chemist, or he was. I think he's dead now. And he stumbled upon the healing properties, rediscovered them, of essential oils. He was in his lab, and essential oils were being used in the cosmetic industry and for beauty and relaxation. So he's working in his lab, and he caught on fire.
Mm.
So once he got himself put out, there was a big vat of lavender oil, and he put both of his hands in there because they were rapidly developing gaseous gangrene. I mean, the burn was that bad. So he put his hands in there and let them soak, and just one rinse of the lavender stopped the gasification of the tissue, and the healing started, and he had no scars from that.
Wow.
So he went...
And I swear by lavender.
Oh, lavender is like a miracle oil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he was stunned by that. And being a chemist, he went on to study all of the antimicrobial, antiviral, all of the chemical properties and healing properties of the oils from a chemical standpoint. And then he shared his studies with his friend, Dr. Jean Vanier, and he was a medical doctor, and he was studying in Paris. And he served in World War II. And when he was in China, he ran out of his supply of antibiotics. He was on the battlefield. You know, they have the MASH units.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran out of antibiotics. And he began to use essential oils to treat wounded soldiers on the battlefield. And he was really surprised that they were very powerful in combating and counteracting infections. So he went on to study with Dr. Gattafosse and really investigate the antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal, antiseptic properties of the oils and their ability to repair tissue without scarring. So that's really the basis of the modern use of essential oils.
Okay.
So, any questions, comments, judgments, criticisms?
I don't think.
Well, you've answered several of my questions. I'm sitting here checking off my questions as you're going. You know, you're telling us all this is pretty awesome. I mean, just hearing the history and the foundation as you laid it out for us, and how you know, our ancestors basically lived and survived because of essential oils is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was the medicine, you know, of ancient times. You know, that and herbs.
Mm-hmm. So, Melanie, let me just ask you this. He actually took open burn wounds and stuck them in the lavender essential oil. So
yes.
If someone were to get burned today and they had, let's say they put their hand on a stove, they could use lavender directly on that burn.
They could use therapeutic grade lavender. I would never, ever, ever, let me be really clear, ever recommend going to the health food store and buying one of the ones right off the shelf and putting it on a burn. And the reason for that is that a lot of the essential oils that are perfume grade and not therapeutic grade is medicinal quality. Perfume grade oils, particularly lavender, is cut with lavandin, which smells, it's a hybrid of lavender and smells a lot like lavender, but it has completely different properties. It's antiseptic properties, and it will increase the burn.
Okay.
So if you're, I've done it with my, the oils I use are therapeutic grade, and I've put it right on. I'm a hazard in the kitchen. Every time I cook, I either cut myself or burn myself. I think there's a clear message here.
You need a chef.
I need a chef, yes. And I use lavender right on my burns and right on my open cuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I just read where you can actually put lavender directly. It's one of the few that you can actually put neat on your skin.
No, that's not true. There are lots of oils you can put neat on your skin.
Okay, I had heard there were very few. But actually, lavender is the only one that I keep as a hydrosol in my kitchen. I've actually mixed it with distilled water.
Yeah, no, there are lots of oils you can put neat on your skin if they are therapeutic grade.
Wow.
Okay,
now say I'm out purchasing oil, you know, at Whole Foods or a health food store that's selling several different lines of essential oils. How do they sign it or the bottle? Does it say therapeutic grade, or how do I choose that type of oil?
They don't say. You have to know who you're buying from. And, you know, there are so many things that go into therapeutic grade oils. In the United States, there are no regulations. You can call anything an essential oil.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are no regulations for it. So you really do have to know your company. In the in Europe, there are two designations. And in order for something to be called a therapeutic grade oil, it has to meet either the AFNOR standards or the EEOC standards. And those are for essential oils. The gas chromatography, which shows what chemical properties are present, they have to meet those standards. So they have to be analyzed by labs and make sure that the gas chromatology meets chromatography meets those standards. And if they don't, it can be called a perfume, but it cannot be called an essential oil. In the United States, there is no such regulation. So you have to have confidence in your supplier of your oils.
Okay. Now, I know that you you use Young Living essential oils. And can you go ahead at this point and give people your website and how to get in touch with you so that they do have a valid resource and if they have any other questions about it? And we do encourage our listeners to either get in on the chat room or call in if you have any questions for Melanie. But, Melanie, would you give them your information, please?
Yes, actually, yes. Thank you. They can go to my website. It's www.awakenyourentrepreneur.com. And on there is a tab that says resources. And if you click on that, you can learn a lot about essential oils. There's an article that has all this information that I'm going over in it. And you can, there's a link to my website where they could order if they wanted.
Okay. And we also have Melanie's link on the Honoring Hour .com website too, if you wanted to get to it from there. So, now aside from, I mean, Young Living, and I don't mean to take away from what you're doing, but is there any other? How do you find a therapeutic grade?
You know, I would say do your homework. You know, search online. You know, in Europe, they can go into pharmacies. Again, they have to meet a certain standard to be sold as essential oils. And so you can go into pharmacies. Here in the United States, you need to go online. There's one other company, and it's another direct sales company. And the reason that the therapeutic grade oils are direct sales companies is because there's a lot of education involved in using them. If you were to put a Young Living oil, lavender, which is $25 retail, on the shelf next to the Araucasia, at Healthways, that's $10 retail, the Young Living is not going to go anywhere because you need the education to go with it. Does that make sense?
Right.
So that's why a lot of the therapeutic grade oils are direct sales. There's a lot of education involved. The other direct sales that I know of that sells therapeutic grade is doTERRA.
Oh, I actually just experienced that at a festival here in Richmond the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The woman had a bottle of the frankincense. It was pure. It was pretty
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are the two companies that I know of that sell. And organic is not the same thing as therapeutic grade. There are lots of components that go into making a therapeutic grade oil, not just if it's organic. So I'll cover that in a minute. But let me talk about, because this addresses your comment, JR, about you thought lavender was one of the only oils or one of the few that you could use neat.
Yeah,
you thought that because there are three different schools of thought in regard to the use of essential oils. The first one is the English model, and it advocates for the use of small amounts of essential oils and diluted. And it's mostly used for massage and relaxation purposes. So they're the ones that are very, very conservative, and their message is dilute, dilute, dilute. So they would be the ones saying there are very few that you could use neat. Okay, so that's their school of thought.
Okay.
There's the German model, and that focuses mostly on the inhalation of the oils to alter mood states. And then there's the French model, and that's the most aggressive, and of course, which was born out of Dr. Gadefossé's and Dr. Valnet's work and research. And it advocates for oils to be used neat, taken internally, inhaled, so they use it in lots of different facets and components. In France, there is a medical specialty called aromatic medicine, and they routinely prescribe essential oils to treat many medical conditions. So there's a great book if you're interested in knowing more about that. It's called Natural Home Healthcare with Essential Oils by Daniel Penuel, who is a French physician.
Okay. Yeah, and other countries seem to be way more apprised of this information than the United States. I mean, we unfortunately tend to really revolve around the pharmaceutical industry.
Yes. Yes. And I could get on my
same way with nutritional supplements.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I could get on my soapbox, but I will spare you all my tirades.
We'd probably agree with you.
You're a good company on that one, right?
So anyway, the way that I use the oils is a combination of all three methods, and it's an effective way to create emotional, physical, and spiritual balance. So that's where you got that idea. And actually, there are lots of oils you can use neat. And
wow.
Nothing bad happens. Your arm doesn't fall off or anything.
That's good to know.
It is good to know.
So, Melanie, what's your emergency list? I mean, if you ran somewhere and you only grabbed a couple, because I know when I go somewhere, the first thing I do, especially if I'm traveling, is I grab at least the bottle of lavender. So, I mean, what are your top five or seven that you always have?
For if I were creating a, like a first aid kit?
Yeah.
Lavender, peppermint. There is a Young Living blend called Thieves that I take everywhere with me. Melaleuca alternifolia, which is tea tree. Those are mostly what I take with me when I travel. Oh, and Purification, and which is a Young Living blend. Oh, and Valor. Because the Purification is a great insect repellent. Except for Japanese beetles, it's got citronella in it. And so I've used it for years as an insect repellent. And I put it on my daughter and I put it on me. And my daughter was going out with some friends. And it was Japanese beetle season. And all of a sudden, I'm like covered in Japanese beetles. And I couldn't figure out what was going on until I realized that it smelled like the sex lure bait that goes in the Japanese beetle trap.
Oh,
so, yeah, they were very friendly. with me. So anyway, those are the ones that I would take with me when I travel, or that I do take with me when I travel. And then the Valor is very, it balances energy. It's very grounding and very stabilizing. It's wonderful.
Great.
Wow. Well, that's okay. Cool. I mean, a couple of those I knew right off the bat, you know, the tea tree and lavender, peppermint, those I've always seen up there. So that's pretty cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want to say real quick, my computer just froze. So if you are calling in, I cannot see you. But if you're on the internet and you're typing in, JR will still be able to see you and ask your question.
Absolutely.
So I apologize for that. I'm trying to figure that out. But I just wanted to put that out there that right at the moment I can't see to identify any calls that come in. So, Melanie, we had when you and I had been corresponding back and forth, we had talked about, you know, how to deal with stress and anxiety, because that's such a huge, you know, issue with people right now. There's so much going on. There's so much change. There's so much uncertainty. So what do you use for that? What do you have to say for people for that?
Well, there are several oils I recommend. Can I back up just a little bit?
Sure.
Essential oils, let me talk to you about how they work and why they work.
Okay.
And because they, again, they work on the physical level, and they also work on the emotional level and the spiritual level. So they work because, you know, essential oils are, they're volatile liquids, meaning that they are, they have a high frequency and they move a lot, and they're distilled from plants and shrubs and flowers and trees and bushes and seeds. And what the essential oil is it's the life force of the plant. Okay, they represent to plants what blood represents to humans. And essential oils in human blood share several common properties. Okay, they both fight infections, viruses, bacteria, and fungi. And they produce hormone-like substances, and they also initiate regeneration. Okay, so they share those properties. Essential oils a fat-soluble structure that is similar to that found in the human cells and tissues, and this makes them compatible with human protein and enables them to be applied and accepted by the body. So that's why they're really effective on a physical level. They can enter into our cells and tissues very easily because they're identified by the body. They're highly concentrated, and they're far more potent than dried herbs. You know, herbs, when they're dried, they only retain 3 to 5% of the essential oils, which is the life force of the plant. So they are way more potent. Because oils, the essential oils are, they're fat soluble and their molecules are so small, they act as effective delivery agent to bring nutrients in through the cell walls to feed the cell nucleus. Without adequate delivery agent to assist the cells to receive needed nutrients, the cell can become deprived of needed nutrition. And without proper nutrition, the cell wall thickens and the cell begins to die. Essential oils can easily bring in nutrients and take waste out. When applied topically, essential oils can penetrate every cell in your body within 20 minutes. And they don't build up in the body. Because of their chemical structure, they're metabolized. They're all based, they all have carbon, hydrogen, and I think it's just carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. And so they're metabolized like other nutrients, and they're gone from the body within 3 hours. You know, it's people have applied essential oils on the bottom of their feet, and within minutes can taste it on their tongue. I had this woman, she was using peppermint on her feet, and she was using a creamer, a flavored creamer, in her coffee, and it was hazelnut, and she was tasting peppermint. And she almost called the company to complain and realized, oh, this might be from the oil, and asked me about it. So that's a very common thing. So that's why they work on a physical level. They move throughout your body. So if you put it on your arm, it's going to spread throughout your entire body, all the cells of your body, within 20 minutes. Okay?
Okay. That's pretty fast.
It is very fast. They're very effective.
Yeah, I read an article like that once, and it talked about it. It called it the garlic test. So if you're out there listening and you don't have any oils at home, you can go cut a piece of garlic open and rub it on the bottom of your feet, and both your feet. And 20 minutes later, you're going to taste that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. What is that? There's a remedy for coughing where you slice onions and put them on the bottom of your feet and put socks over them. I've never tried that.
I haven't either, but I don't usually have coughing fits, but that's a good thing to keep in mind when my kids are going through that.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So essential oils also help balance emotions. And they're able to do that because they penetrate the blood-brain barrier. For a lot of years, scientists thought that the interstitial tissues of the brain served as a barrier to keep damaging substances from reaching the neurons of the brain and the cerebral spinal fluid. But what they really found is that small molecules can get past there. So they used to think that nothing could get past there because chemotherapy isn't effective on brain cancer, but it's because the molecules of chemotherapy are so large. Mm. So essential oil molecules are very, very small, and that's why they're able to do that. So when we inhale a fragrance, and the reason why it shifts mood states really quickly is when we inhale a fragrance, it goes right up our nose and triggers electrical impulses to the olfactory bulb in the brain. And then the olfactory bulb transmits the impulses to the limbic system, including the amygdala. And the amygdala is a little gland right in our limbic system, and it is the warehouse for emotional trauma, big T trauma and little T trauma. And it's kind of what it directs where in the body it's going to store memories and emotions. And the limbic system is directly connected to the parts of the brain that control heart rate, blood pressure, breathing, memory, stress levels, and hormone balances. So oils have a profound effect on our psychological and our physiological well-being. Our sense of smell, and when you think about how scents can alter brain chemistry, which is what it's doing, I mean, that's why kids huff, because the high is so quick. You know, it's going right up your nose and altering brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And our sense of smell is the only one of our five senses that is directly linked to the limbic lobe of our brain, which is our emotional, where our emotions are stored. Scents can evoke emotions and memories before we're even aware of them. Have you guys ever had, like, where you walk into something and you smell a smell and all of a sudden you get a memory back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
It's very clear. I mean, there's no sorting through. I think it smells sort of like. It's like, boom, there's a memory right there. That's our most primitive sense. All of our other senses are routed through the thalamus, which is like the switchboard for the brain, and it passes the stimuli onto the cerebral cortex, which is the conscious thought center, and other parts of the brain. So there's the sorting piece, whereas smells just go right up into our limbic lobe and have access to emotional memories. So this is fascinating, and then we'll go back and I'll go back and answer your question. I did not forget. One drop of essential oils contains approximately 40 million trillion molecules. We have 100 trillion cells in our body. So one drop of essential oil contains enough molecules to cover every cell in our body with 40,000 molecules. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
Wow,
that is incredible.
That's awesome.
So it only takes one molecule of the right kind to open a receptor site and communicate with DNA to alter cellular function. So even inhaling a small amount of vapor from an oil can have a profound effect on the body and the brain and the emotions. So that's how it affects the emotions, and it affects spiritually and our energy, affects us on an energetic level, because essential oils have very high vibrational rates. The highest vibrational rate is 320 megahertz, which is rose oil, and the lowest is 58. Our body, when it's in a good state of health, is right around 65 megahertz. So oils raise our vibrational rate, so they're really great for calming the mind, for meditation, for reaching higher vibrational states. So they impact on the physical and the emotional and the spiritual level.
You know, Melanie, talking about emotional and physical level, we have someone asking the question, an exceedingly high favored, welcome to the show. And what she's asking is, are there oils that help teens with ADHD or people with ADHD or people with bipolar?
Mm-hmm. There are. Dr. Terry Friedman, who he is an MD, and he works with the Young Living, or he's a distributor, he works with those oils, and he did research on various oils and found that vetiver, which is, pungent, but highly effective for ADD and ADHD kids. So, and bipolar, I'm not sure. You would want to use more grounding and stabilizing oils for bipolar, but there is a depression protocol that uses several oils and can balance out mood. But I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV, and I would never recommend that you go against a doctor's advice. There.
I would have to agree with that. I think this and any modality or alternative modality you want to look at as something to complement whatever your doctor has you on or doing, and always let it be your doctor that takes you off your medication.
Yes, never come off of it on your own. And all this information is for educational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose or prescribe.
Right, very good. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the day that we do not have to put those disclosures in things, but thank you very much for doing so. So,
you're welcome. So, let's see. So therapeutic grade oils, we'll talk about that later. But oils, okay, so back to your question, Lynn. You've been very patient.
No problem.
So oils for stress and anxiety. Lavender, of course, is great. It's high in esters. It's well known for its sedative properties, and it is great for stress and anxiety. At the University of Miami, researchers found that the inhalation of lavender oil increased beta waves in the brain, suggesting heightened relaxation. And it also helps improve cognitive function. So lavender's one. Idaho balsam fir is one. It's a conifer oil, and most of the conifer oils, pine, what else? I don't know. None of the others are coming to me.
They must not be relevant here.
Yeah, they're not jumping into my brain. They provide a sense of grounding and anchoring. Idaho balsam fir, in particular, has been found in research to reduce cortisol levels, which is our stress hormone, by an average of 30%. So it's a wonderful oil. That's the oil that I've used when people have come in the midst of a panic attack, and that has stopped panic attacks immediately. Ylang-ylang is a wonderful oil, great for stress, great for anxious feelings. It balances the central nervous system. Roman chamomile is also a really nice oil. It's very calming, and it's calming to the central nervous system. If you have hay fever, though, I recommend that you don't use it because it's related to ragweed.
Mm.
Valerian is very pungent. Again, it's not the most appealing oil, but it's sedating and tranquilizing to the nervous system. You know, the valerian root, well, the oil is just very helpful. Citrus oils, grapefruit, orange, lemon, tangerine, and bergamot. Bergamot's one of my favorites. They are mood elevators. They're very light. They help lift moods. If you're going to use them and apply them to your skin, it's really important. They're phototoxic, photosensitive. I'm not sure, but you can't go out in the direct sunlight where you've applied them for 48 to 72 hours because they intensify the sun's rays and you'll burn.
Yeah, I've made that mistake.
Yeah. You only make it once, though, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, then you're a quick learner, JR.
You know, I was working with someone who, she got bergamot, and she always puts the oils on the back of her neck. So, and I had said it's photosensitive, and but she forgot because that's just where she puts the oils, and put the bergamot right on the back of her neck and went out and worked in the yard for like 4 hours. And got a horrible burn. And you could see the fingerprints where she had put the oil on.
So where do you recommend putting the oils, Melanie? I mean, is there a better way? And also, can you address ingesting them? Because that's controversial.
Yeah, that is controversial. And again, I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV. So if you were going to ingest them, you would have to... There are some that are the FDA... has labeled grass, which is generally regarded as safe. So the citrus oils, you know, are labeled grass. Lavender's labeled grass. So the ones that are labeled by the FDA is generally regarded as safe. If they are therapeutic grade, you could ingest them by your own choice. I'm not going to recommend it just because I can't. But if you wanted to, you could certainly talk with your healthcare practitioner.
Okay. Now, do you ever ingest any of them?
I do.
Okay. And I do as well. That's why I was asking, you know, just to know. Okay. Great.
Yeah. So where to put them? You can put them really one of the best places to put them is on the bottom of the feet, because on the bottom of the feet, your pores are bigger, and you have access to all of the organs in your body from the bottom of your feet. And so that's often where I put them. And people who are really sensitive to not wanting to smell, you know, especially if you're using, you know, thyme or oregano or whatever, although I like walking around smelling like an Italian bakery, but some people don't. And those are hot oils, so I just recommend putting them on the bottom of the feet. So that's great. I often put them on the back of my neck near my brainstem. And again, depending on what I'm using them for, if I'm feeling anxious or if I'm stressed out, I often put them on my chest and on my solar plexus. So you can put them in different places. There's a great book, The Essential Oil Desk Reference, that is phenomenal. It goes through all of the oils, what they do, and how to use them. And then it's got the middle section is all kinds of alternative health techniques, talks about their, you know, Young Living's supplements. But then in the back, the back half of the book is you can look up any issue. You could look up lice. You could look up scabies. You know, you could look up any issue, and it will give you oils, suggested oils and uses for each issue. So if you have specific questions about that, I highly recommend that, the Essential Oil Desk Reference. You can get it from Amazon. It's probably the best place to get it.
Okay.
So those are the single oils that are really great for stress and anxiety. Lavender, Idaho balsam fir, or pine, but I prefer the Idaho balsam fir, ylang ylang, Roman chamomile, valerian, the citrus oils, grapefruit, orange, lemon, tangerine, and bergamot. You can also do vetiver. Vetiver is very relaxing for the mind. It's distilled from the root of a grass, and it's pungent. Some people like it, but a lot of people find it, you know, not so pleasant. But it's very effective.
Well, I hear you have to use that in small doses.
Vetiver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it because it's that strong?
It's pungent.
Wow.
You know, it's funny because my husband used vetiver for a while, and he quit using it when he changed offices, because in one office, his boss loved it. The guy he worked with would say, "Oh, it smells great in here." And then when he moved his office, his coworkers would go, "Wow, it stinks in here. Somebody is painting every time he'd put it on." So he quit using it. So anyway, there are blends that are also very helpful, and these are Young Living blends, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about them because they are very, very helpful. One of them is called Peace and Calming, And it's a blend of blue tansy, patchouli, tangerine, orange, and ylang ylang. And they are very, very helpful for reducing stress and uplifting the spirits and insomnia. You know, one of my favorite peace and calming stories is my daughter, when she was 4, we flew out to Utah to the Young Living Convention, and we were flying home. You know how you get to the airport 2 hours early?
Right.
Well, then our flight was delayed 2 hours.
Oh, lovely.
So, yeah, we're in the airport for 4 hours. So my daughter, by the end, at 4, was spinning like a top. I mean, really, like the little Tasmanian devil spinning around. And finally, I remembered, sometimes I forget I have the oils, and I remembered, I called her over, and I had her hold out her hands, and she loves the oils. And I put the peace and calming on her hand. She's like, "Where do you want me to put it?" "I don't care." "Put it anywhere." And so she rubbed it on her face and then took some deep breaths of it in and then walked over and sat down next to my husband. And I went, "Ah, I love peace and calming." So it is very helpful for insomnia and reducing stress. Valor, I mentioned Valor. It's very stabilizing, very grounding. When I work with people who are outside of their bodies, you know, you're talking to them, but you know that they're circling the ceiling.
Yeah.
Valor helps bring them back into their body.
Okay.
Very, very grounding. I've had people who, you know, their voice changes. You know how when you settle back into your body, the energy comes back in and your voice changes?
Right.
Yep. Yeah. I don't mean to sound creepy, but, you know, when people are really anxious and their voice gets higher and they get in, and then when they're settled in, it gets lower and they're more present. Valor is very helpful. Mm. And then a blend, Ruta Vala, which is it's a blend of Ruta, Valerian, and Lavender, and it's very calming and soothing to the emotions in the central nervous system.
And what was the name of that?
Ruta Vala.
Ruta Vala?
Mm-hmm. Rutavala. And, again, that's a little pungent. I add a little extra lavender to it. It's very helpful. I've used it with people in 10-minute increments to help shift a mood, and it's been extremely effective. And then for people, and I'm going to make one more recommendation. This isn't so much for anxiety as it is, or stress, as it is just general protection. There is a blend called White Angelica that is great for it. Any healers or just people in general who are empathic or who are sensitive, who tend to pick up other people's emotions. White Angelica helps clear energy and helps keep you from picking up energy hitchhikers.
So that actually would be a good product for people with lupus.
Okay, I don't know that much about lupus.
Okay.
So I will say yes.
Yeah, because energetically, the people that I've worked with lupus, energetically what they're doing is they're picking up all kinds of different vibrations that they just, that's part of their makeup.
Uh-huh.
Which causes the different breakdowns in their physical body.
Oh, wow.
So that's good to know.
Yeah, the two oils I would say would be a great combination would be the Valor and the White Angelica, because the Valor is very grounding and it balances the energy in the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's also great for back pain, but it balances the energy in the body, and then the White Angelica, you know, clears any negative energy and keeps you from picking up other.
Great.
So Melanie, you mentioned, because you're talking about blends, and then you just mentioned you added to the blend because it was so pungent. So really, if I'm at home and I have a blend that somebody made and I add to it, so it doesn't change the effect, the overall effect that the product will have on me, right? I mean, because those molecules will all go where they need to go anyway, correct?
Right. Right. You still have the chemical properties of each of the oils. It creates a synergistic effect, yeah. But it shouldn't, especially if you are adding more of an oil that's already in there.
Okay.
It should.
Oh, wow.
I just want to take this opportunity to mention, because we're getting close to the end of our time, Melanie's website is awakenyourentrepreneur.com. And you can also, if through her website, you can follow her on Twitter and Facebook if you wanted to hook up and do that as well. And, you know, Melanie, is there, I mean, do you have a phone number if people needed to call you, or do you prefer that they just email you? How do people get in touch with you?
No, they can call me. They can reach me at 540-907-4146.
Great. Great. I just wanted to be able to put that out there. And because I do want to utilize every moment of time that we have, and it's saying that we have 4 minutes left, let me just take this opportunity to say that the next time that we air will be next Tuesday for a meditation, and that's a half an hour long. But the next show that we have with a guest is on the 30th, and that's with Anne-Marie Gallant, who's going to talk about the benefits of Rolfing. So we
I love her.
Will join us there. But Melanie, let's get back, and we'll, now that we've gotten that kind of out of the way, we'll just spend the next couple of minutes just, you know, telling whatever you can about the oils, because I know that's what people really want to hear about.
Well, I want to talk about really quickly about therapeutic grade oils and what goes into making a therapeutic grade, because organic is not the same. So the factors to make a therapeutic grade oil are, where the oil is grown, if it's grown organically or not, the altitude at which it's grown, how dry or wet the season was, how it was harvested, how it was distilled, how it was even planted. So a lot of companies will, a lot of oils that are sold in the United States are perfume grade, and they're adulterated. They have chemicals added in. They have, they're just not pure. And even if it says pure essential oil, doesn't mean it is. So let me give lavender as an example. When you, to distill lavender properly, you have to cut it and let the plant material sit for 48 hours so that the oil rises to the surface of the plant. And then you plant the pack, you pack the plant material into the diffuser, and then you diffuse it, the distiller, diffuser something else, then you distill it for a longer period of time at lower temperatures to get the best chemical constituents, chemical makeup, the therapeutic properties. A lot of people, because time is money, will cut the plant material, cut the lavender, spray it with a chemical that makes the oil rise to the surface, then pack it into the distiller. That chemical is still on there. And then they cook it at a higher temperature for a shorter amount of time, so you get something that still smells like lavender, but you don't have the therapeutic properties that help with the burns and help with the cuts and all of that. So therapeutic grade, there are very clear standards for that. And I can't stress enough that they're present in Europe. They are not present in the United States.
Okay. Now, do you have, and this will actually, the show will cut off on the air. However, we'll have a couple more minutes if for any of you that have called in. And then on the download, this information will be here. So if you are getting cut off on the internet, please do, you know, go ahead and listen to the downloads, because the show will continue for a few minutes. Do you see a lot, or have you been working with a lot of people with adrenal fatigue? Because I'm seeing that that's a huge stress-related syndrome that's coming up.
I haven't worked with many, but I know that that Gary Young, the leader of Young Living, has addressed that, and that's probably in the EDR. And I've lent mine out, so I can't look that up for you. But I would say things that are balancing and sedating to the central nervous system. Again, the oils that I recommended, ylang ylang, Idaho balsam fir, chamomile.
Now, what do you suggest for people that are hypersensitive like I was initially? How would you introduce oils more slowly?
Well, diffusing them is a way to do that, or even just putting them on a cotton ball and putting them in a far, or even just holding them at first, just holding them in your hand and not even taking the cap off, you know, would be one. And then once you got used to that, then taking the cap off and holding it, and then putting it in the room, and then that's how I would do that.
Right. And do you, the left hand is what you recommend?
holding them in?
You know, I don't have a preference, and I don't know if, you know, from your experience energetically, if it makes a difference.
Okay. Well, the left hand is where that's our receiving side. That's our nurturing
mm-hmm.
side. It's where things come in, and the right hand is where things go out. So if you're prepared to receive it, I'd say from an energetic level, maybe try it with your left hand. That's how I always pick up stuff to see if my body's, if it's okay for my body or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really super sensitive, you may want to pick it up with your right hand, because then that gives you a little bit more of a buffer. It'll still, you know, be there and be present for you, but it's not an instant in. So I was just wondering if you had ever had any experience with that.
Mm-mm. No, I have not.
Wow.
Well,
Melanie, we only have a couple seconds left, and I want to myself say thank you for joining us today, because, you know, this has really been a pleasure for myself, you know, most especially, but I'm sure everyone else also, in helping us to understand oils better. And we'll definitely have to have you come back.
Been my pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you all about it.
Well, thank you again. And, yeah, this is a very vast topic, so an hour did not do it justice at all. We'll definitely have to get you back on, and I do thank you very much for coming on. Again, we'll be on next week for a meditation, and the week after that, on the 30th, we'll have Anne-Marie Gallant for Rolfing. So Melanie, thank you so very much again for being here, and we look forward to working with you again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. All right, JR, thank you, and I'll talk with you again soon.
All right, talk to you soon. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.